to another edition of Marketing Pulpit International, New York Dish, with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. 45 degrees and cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York. We're in the midst of the coronavirus quarantine. Not really a quarantine. I don't want to give misinformation out. It's a voluntary stay-in-place order. You could leave your home or apartment or, you know, whatever, to get essential goods, pharmacy, doctor's appointments, that sort of thing. Food, obviously. But for the most part, to contain the virus, the local and state government, certainly not the federal government, we're going to get into that in a little bit, has been advising the citizens of the city to stay indoors, and for the most part, that's what we've been doing. You see a little traffic, but for the reasons already expressed, as most stores are closed except for the supermarkets. And I said some time ago, I don't believe I said it on this show, Marketing Pulpit International, New York Edition, with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. And by the way, it's 10:31 a.m., but long advocated for supermarket workers, distribution, warehouse centers to be deemed essential employees and given personal protective equipment, gloves, gowns, masks, and taught how to use them appropriately. Most of these facilities have this equipment anyway, because we have a subsidiary that's been in the trucking business for quite some time. So I'm just hoping that they taught how to use this equipment so we can minimize the risks. And that's not a if I swallowed down a wrong tube. At any rate, minimize the devastating effects of this pandemic, especially in these critical infrastructure like warehouse distribution centers and that sort of thing. So I had an interesting weekend, you know, just trying to keep up with the gaffes, lies, dissembling, and attempts to revisit history by this administration has been mind-boggling. It's really outrageous that we have such an immoral person at the helm of our country during a time such as this when we need moral leadership. We need someone to tell the truth, not to, you know, have people panic. We certainly don't want to invite panic, but, you know, people need to be told the truth. At least, you know, it expressed from someone with the gravitas, you know, using the bully pulpit of the office of the presidency, not to promote your own interests, but to promote being of the country. And we don't see that, unfortunately, in the Trump administration. And we will never see it, obviously. You know, the persons that elected him and are attempting to put him back in office wanted to poke a stick in the eye of the folks that actually voted for a competent president not once but twice. And due to a perfect storm, and I would say that, you know, the single most important issue that sunk Clinton, and I'm not a fan of Hillary Clinton, you know, I don't want people, you know, intimating that I was, you know, I'm not. I don't think that she's at the same level as Trump in terms of dissembling, but, you know, she didn't strike a sympathetic figure. Not that we wanted us, you know, we wanted to vote for her, you know, on the basis of sympathy. I'll just say that she had negatives in my mind. I'm not talking about the negatives that were expressed by the media. I'm just saying that, she didn't, she was offered many, many opportunities to come clean about a lot of things and neglected to do so. And that this is not, a false equivalency here. This is, somebody that ran a campaign where they had the opportunity to really seize the day, carpe diem. It was theirs to lose, and they lost it. And sure, there were other factors involved, Russian interference and, the bullying and the bluster by the opposition. And then James Comey coming out saying that she was still in there. I mean, come on, man. So, he really, and that's what I was going to say, the single most, important reason was not Trump, actually, but it was James Comey at on the eve of the election. He comes out and says that she's still under investigation. I mean, that sunk her like a rock. And his explanation has never been, to me, in my mind, I listened to it several times, numerous times, interviews with him, trying to provide an explanation. It didn't wash. It really didn't. And so now we're stuck with this moron in office who is trying to wing his way through a national health emergency the likes of which we have not seen before and hopefully will not see again in my lifetime. But the odds are not very low that we won't. We will, because there will be a resurgence of this particular epidemic. That's the problem. We'll see this again. It's going to, it's not, we're not going to eradicate it, but, we will manage to contain it, in a couple of months. And after that, we can expect it to try to resurge, try to come back in force in mass. Hopefully it won't mutate so badly that whatever therapeutics we manage to manufacture and distribute by that time are at least effective in squelching or tamping down symptoms. I'm not a fan of tamping down symptoms, and this is where I feel that modern medical science fails. You go to medical school today, and you talk to a lot of these young doctors, and I dated more than one doctor in my lifetime, or several, very bright, sisters that are medical doctors. One had a surgical specialty in internal medicine, had taken her boards when we were still dating. And the other, a board-certified psychiatrist, very well-known where in the community which she applied her trade. And they both used to express the fact that most interventions were almost entirely predicated on pharmaceuticals, chemicals, chemical adjuncts, that's what I like to call them. And, so as a consequence, we like to, have a pill to cure everything, cure fat. There was once, some time ago, I know this is a digression, but those that listen to the show, and by the way, if you want to join us, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. There was, at some point, I read this many years ago. I haven't heard anything else about it. I guess it's still waiting FDA approval. This is a pill I would probably take because I'm completely gray now. And I don't feel that the gray, matches, who I am, who I feel like, but I can't dye my hair or my beard simply because I'm allergic to the dye. So I it's akin to torture for me to die, and I used to. I would say when I started getting really badly gray as of late, but I started graying in earnest around my mid-40s. And there was a pill that some of the major cosmetic companies were touting that could reverse this, chemically. I don't know how it works, obviously. I'm not a chemist or a biochemist. But you were obviously supposed to take the pill, and I guess after I'm sure it didn't happen immediately, but after a period of time, a few weeks to a few months, the gray subsided. I think that the FDA is waiting on the reports from side effects to see what, if any, because that's the problem with therapeutics and medicine, chemicals, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing. It's a chemical at the end of the day, and those chemicals might have a side effect, a contraindication, as they say in pharmacology. And the same, and they typically, when they're used as medicine, they're typically used to as palliative or analgesic, but they, again, as they say in pharmacy, which is to mask pain. That's all, to tamp down pain. I'm at the age now where I've always been an athlete, but I suffer from sporadic inflammation, which is due to erosion of my joints, some of my joints, not all of them. My back is really bad, and I did go to a surgeon, and he looked at the results, and he said, "Well, it's par for course for someone your age." And so there's, short of surgery, there's not a whole hell of a lot I could do about it except to try to stay mobile, and I do. It's the same with this virus. I'm not talking about the medicine, but the therapeutics they're trying to get on the market or to solve people's concern are just that, a solve. It's not a cure. It's certainly not a vaccine. There are some promising clinical trials going on. I believe most are in stage one and two, and then once you get to stage three and four, that means that they're ready for a widespread use. There is a provision, however, that allows for compassionate use in the instance of a pandemic like this. So I think that we're seeing a large clinical trial now in New York City where persons presenting with the virus are being offered this potential vaccine. And then the researchers can determine statistically if this vaccine is efficacious, if it works. And if it does, then that is something that will be mass produced relatively quickly, and hopefully there will be some guidelines in place so that the pharmaceutical companies don't again use this as an opportunity like they have with insulin, life-saving medications, to line their coffers, which they're not adverse to doing. I don't mind someone making a profit, but I think that it has to. There was a guy, he was a smug son of a you-know-what. I can't think of his name, but it just popped into my head. I think he went to prison, if I'm remembering this right. Boy, he was a distasteful you-know-what, but he smiling and smirking and, doing interviews and, really wise-ass responses. But somehow he managed to get a hold of a pharmaceutical company. I don't know. Young white guy. I don't believe he was barely in his 30s and managed to get the money together to purchase a pharmaceutical company that was manufacturing, not insulin, but it was something else, cancer. A drug that was used to treat cancer, I believe, will be his gospel. Those that know the story can give me a call, 215-383-3872. And boosted the price up, I believe, 1,000%. And I think that he would have been able to get away with it, but like I said, his arrogance was his downfall. There's some scripture on that, pride cometh before the fall. And so they went after him, the government, and they brought charges for, you know, fraud and all type of stuff, tax evasion, and they got him. And if I remember correctly, he went to jail. I don't remember how much time he got, but it was pretty substantial. You know, 7 years or something like that, maybe longer, maybe shorter, but I believe it was in that range. So I'm hoping that because this is a major pandemic that the pharmaceutical companies follow suit like every other sector of the economy that has been adversely impacted. Virtually no sector of the economy hasn't been impacted because the supply chain is integrated. And, you know, I don't have to get into it. It's all integrated, you know. So if one sector of the economy is not doing so well, other sectors of the economy aren't doing so well. Went out, I think it was Friday or Thursday, because I had just run out of food. I mean, literally, I had nothing in the house to eat. I was, and I don't scare easily, but I'm of the age where I just don't take chances any longer with my life, you know, because I still have a very young child, and I want to be around as long as possible for him, and if I could do some good work while that is occurring, that's what I am trying to accomplish in my personal life, which is why I've said right here on this show that I'm, you know, shifting, you know, personally and professionally from, you know, what we have been doing for the past 20, 30 years to, you know, sort of end game here, where I'm doing what I plan on doing for the rest of my life, however long that is, 30, 40 years or less, I don't know. You know, I just want to be around and see, you know, my child grow into a thriving, productive man, and to have a family, and to see, you know, my grandchildren grow. And I think I'd be happy at that point, you know, something that has eluded me for, you know, most of my life, but I would be to see that. And, you know, toward that end, I haven't been going out and risking my life because people are nasty, and I talked about this on the show last week. You know, I see people go in these stores, you know, black, white, Asian, you know, Indian, and everything in between, and grab a cart, and with no regard for the germs that are on these carts. You know, my late girl used to say that I was a germaphobe, and I think I'm just careful, you know, because I know how dirty people are. And so when I go in a car, I don't care who gives me a second, third, fourth, I don't care. I'm going to stand there and wipe the car down. I really am. And I fortunately, you know, and this is where, you know, prescience comes to fore. You know, I keep a large bottle of hand sanitizer in my truck, not my car, because I don't drive the car as often as I do the truck, which is my daily driver. You know, I have two cars and one truck, and the truck, I don't care if I have a billion miles on it, that's what it's for. But the car is not so much so. Both are, you know, one is a high-performance car, the other one less so, but it's rare. So I don't drive them as much. Well, one, I don't drive at all, but the other one I do drive occasionally if the truck is in a shop. And I try not to because it's already at 80,000 miles, and it needs to be serviced desperately, and I'm going to get the parts and take it over to the mechanic before the week's, not week, before the month's out. But I just want to get some other duckies lined up in a row before I do that, because I don't drive it enough to warrant, you know, spending, you know, tons and tons of money on it. But it does need an oil change and the wires change and that sort of thing. And, you know, some other minor stuff, belt, tensioner, which is squeaking, and that's a typical problem with these particular vehicles. So I did go out Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and I did not go out Sunday, however, to get food. And I went to every store between here and there and could not find any hand sanitizer or alcohol. Went to small dollar stores, to the big box stores, Walmart, none of them. They were all out. So fortunately, not pat myself on the back, I'm just saying that, you know, I do this anyway. I had a bottle of hand sanitizer. I should have got an even bigger one, but that one, I didn't want to carry a big, gigantic jug in the car, and I've been using that. So when I couldn't get any alcohol, I wouldn't have sworn. I think I'm going to go out today again. I might later. I have a couple of meetings after the show. And I brought two bottles of Everclear. And it was relatively expensive. It was $20 a bottle. Everclear is grain alcohol. It's 181 proof, so that means that the alcohol content is half of the proof. So that's roughly 90 proof, a little over 90 proof, but yeah, roughly around that, you know, 90.5 proof, which is literally the same as the alcohol I was looking for, which was 91% isopropyl alcohol. The chemical structures from grain to isopropyl is slightly different, but it has the same chemical effect. It acts as a disinfectant. It will kill most germs, and so I've been using that. And I need a bottle of concentrated bleach. I usually keep two or three bottles in the house, but I have one in the truck, and I think I'm going to bring that one in, and when and if I go out again, venture out, I'll get another bottle of concentrated bleach and another bottle of grain alcohol. You know, obviously is very expensive. So I looked online, eBay, because I was saying, well, that, you know, maybe I can go on eBay and I won't have to go out at all. What I'm thinking about now, you know, Amazon just, you know, you don't know how truthful these corporations are, just admitted that a worker or two or three, I don't know, one of their DC's distribution centers tested positive for coronavirus, which means that worker exposed three other workers who exposed three other workers who exposed three other, you know, it goes exponentially like that. That's just epidemiology 101. So that facility has to be closed down and deep cleaned, you know, light bleach solution or some other industrial strength disinfectant. So I believe that they're going to do that. But again, all, you know, their supply. supply chain is integrated, man. Those trucks go from DCs to DCs carrying that contaminated cargo, and that's how, you know, because these workers go in there, you know, the young, they're college kids, you know, trying to earn some extra money or that's their full-time gig. And they go in there without gloves, and they get to throwing those boxes around and, you know, becoming contaminated, and, you know, it's a mess. So the latest projections from Fauci and the CDC and all these other alphabet government agencies is that they expect 100 to 200,000 persons to be impacted by this. You know, I don't like Trump, and a lot of people don't, but I, in this particular case, I take no glee in the fact that he is failing. It's not helpful, you know, because people's lives are on the line, you know. People are dying, and there's not only persons my age, you know, that are way over 50. It's persons that are, you know, in virtually every age group, they, you know, obviously up to 49, you know, you're less likely to catch or to contract a virus and to succumb to it. Whereas persons over 50 and, you know, the comorbidity is having some underlying health problem are more susceptible. So, you know, we really hope for a more robust federal response, and unfortunately we haven't gotten it, but we do see some governors, Cuomo out of New York, Ensley out of Washington State, that are, you know, doing the best that they can. You know, they're holding conferences, you know, it's the Republican governors to a person, DeSantis in Florida, and, you know, woman in Alabama, and, you know, these other deep south states that aren't taking this thing seriously, man. They're not. Mississippi, you know, the governor overrode local prohibition against large gatherings and opened up the state. It's insane. These guys should be held criminally responsible for any death as a consequence of their ill-advised attempt to support Trump. Anyway, we're going to talk about this more next week, God willing. Stay safe and stay inside, more importantly. And God bless. We will be back next week with more of Marketing Pulpit International with yours truly, Dennis Shipman.